Welcome to Black Women's World Podcast.
Welcome to Peace Place for Me, a virtual connection where the contagious love of Jesus Christ abides and thrives. Thank you for joining us as we enter our time of sharing with Pastor and Chaplain Tracy Mack in this virtual, interfaith, inclusive, and purpose-filled community. Let's listen in.
So good morning again. Welcome to Peace Place. I am Tracy Mack. I'm grateful for all the faces I see this morning. I feel like the lady on Romper Room. I won't say your names, but good morning, this one. Good morning. I used to feel so special on Romper Room. I wanted to feel special, and I waited so long for that lady to call my name, and I never forget it. I was sitting on the blue carpet in my grandma's living room, and she said, "I see Tracy," and I have been seen. but anyway, I'm happy. Good morning. Like I said, happy Mother's Day. Either you had a mama or you are a mama. You fit it. And I just want to share this morning before we get into our conversation in community. And that's the favorite part to me when we get to exchange our stories on the subject at hand. And this morning I was thinking about cheat codes and hacks. Cheat codes and hacks. And just to define, so we're all on the same page, I'm looking at this from a positive perspective, not like if you got hacked. A brief story. I remember one time our bank account was hacked. It was nearing my dad's birthday. I wanted to go see him, and Jada was out of school. We were preparing to go to Thanksgiving in South Carolina. My dad's birthday falls right around Thanksgiving. And I was like, I won't be able to be with my side of the family, but we were going to go be with Owen's side of the family. And I said, "Jada, let's go have breakfast with Papa. He loves breakfast. And this man will put peanut butter on pancakes. I don't understand it. Don't ask me. But it's just a thing he does." And I was like, "How can we prevent that from happening? Let's go to IHOP. I don't think they have peanut butter, but he can get pancakes." And anyway, we had a great time with my dad down at IHOP in Moorhead City. And on the way back, I usually stop at the same gas station in Kinston to get gas. And Jade and I pulled up to the pump, and I went to go swipe, and it declined my card. And I was like, wait a minute. You know, I passed that life long time ago. A decline was me, but this time a decline is you. I know I got something in the bank. And I was like, what's happening? And I swiped it again, and it declined. And so I pulled up to the parking area in front of the store, and I said, "What's going on?" And I went and I pulled my banking account up on my phone, and I looked, and there was money there. But as I was sitting there, there were charges coming out that weren't ours. One was in Culpeper, Virginia. And I'm like, Culpeper, I don't even know where that is. And I remember seeing the sign when we used to go visit my girlfriend up in Northern in the DMV area. And I was like, Culpeper, Virginia. And it was at grocery stores. I was like, wait a minute. And I called Owen, and I said, I know he wasn't in Culpeper because he was at work, because we were going to get off. He was going to get off and go to South Carolina. And I said, somebody's charging. I said, wait a minute, let me call the bank and see what's going on. And between the time I first saw the first few charges and while I was on hold with the fraud department at the bank, somebody was just racking it up. They were at Best Buy. And I was like, what happened? Oh my God. And I called, and I was so glad I got somebody. She said, "Oh, we know this is not you." She said, "Your credit card information has been stolen." And I was like, oh my Lord. And you feel vulnerable, and you know, somebody just came in and hacked your money. And so they, you know, thank God the bank, you know, they ended up, that was getting ready to be Thanksgiving weekend. And I was just so grateful that they, you know, stopped that. And they told us they had to stop our cars. And I was grateful to have, you know, some cash and some money somewhere else so we could still travel and get on the road. But the whole time you're feeling vulnerable because somebody got your account. So when I talk about cheat codes and hacks, I shared that because that's a negative perspective. But when I'm thinking about cheat codes and hacks today, I'm talking about the positive perspective. I was with someone some time ago, and they were asking how I did something. Well, how did you do this? And you didn't have this. You didn't have all the tools. You didn't have the people. What was your secret? And so that came to mind. What are some of the cheat codes? And just to define it to make sure we're on the same page, a cheat code in current language is a character or combination that is entered to change a game's behavior. So cheat codes mainly started out for gamers, and they would get these particular codes to change the game, the outcome of the game, the behavior of the game into their favor. And when it comes to a hack, a modern definition of hack is a usually simple and clever tip or technique to accomplish some familiar task much more easily and efficiently. So when we talk about cheat codes and hacks, and I'm sure, especially looking at the people who I'm looking at now, many of you, all of us right now are over the age of 50. So you've gone through some things. So some things you were a novice at one point in your life that you're no longer a novice at. So you got some cheat codes and hacks that just living this thing called life, as Prince would say, you know, this thing called life, that you don't have to go around the long way anymore. You've got some shortcuts, and all shortcuts aren't bad. Now, there are some times in our lives where people will try to get through a shortcut and not pay the price, not do the work. And those are times when you don't get the outcome that you want. But once you've done some things, once you've experienced some things, and once you have allowed God to teach you some things, you are at a point in life where you've got some cheat codes and hacks. And I want to share some of those with the audience. And then when we get ready to have our time together, I want us to see if we can share some cheat codes and hacks among ourselves, because that's what community is all about. When we get together and exchange, we have a life exchange. Maybe there's something I'm going through that you've gone through that we can learn. I think it's all, you stay as young as you can possibly stay, as long as you keep learning. And I'm going to say amen to myself, since the sound man won't let anybody else talk right now. But one of the things I was thinking about, and I wrote in my book, I've shared other books on this particular time with us being at Peace Place, but I haven't even shared from any of my books, Thought System. I wrote this book back in 2016, and it too became an Amazon bestseller. And I began to think about one of my main cheat codes started when I was in church. Well, all of them to some degree, but I want to read this portion of the book with you. One of my great, brilliant friends and angel, I've called her, Miss Hines. She is such an awesome reader. And I said, I wish I had got this to Miss Hines in time where she could have read this, because she can really make you feel the words. And I'm just going to read this little bit. And it says, I was a very quiet child. Can you believe it? Yeah, because I was a very quiet child. But whenever I had a question, I would ask. Asking a question during the sermon didn't go over well, though. You had to be quiet. Or my mom would say, shh, keep still, Tracy. I learned quickly to keep my questions and keep still. If you didn't, you would get a pinch or a pinch and a turn. I don't know if y'all know, back in the day, they grab your skin, pinch and turn it, and you couldn't cry. You better not cry. The 70s were rough. I didn't like pinches, and for dang sure, I didn't like it when she or any other trusted member of the church would pinch and turn. But I was a fast learner, so I didn't have to hear keep still, Tracy, but a few times. I kept still and quiet. I would get so bored listening to the sermons, though. It seemed like they would take so long, as if the big hands on the clock in the back of the church were turning backwards. Once the peppermint dissolved and my stomach would start asking questions, when are we going to eat and go home? But I wanted to ask it out loud, but I had to weigh my options and thought about that possible pinch. But thankfully, the preacher would finally get to the good part. And I would always think, and still do, why does he or she wait to the end to get to the good part? You know, the good part when the organist or the pianist begins to chime in with those gospel chords, inviting a rhythm and the exciting modulations to encourage the hype of the message. Well, it would also let the congregants know it's just about time to close and have altar call. People would stand up and a good preacher could sing his sermon. And if he was really good, he or she could move the crowd just by saying, say yeah. And I would wonder, what we saying yes to? And do we ever say no? The mind of a child, you know. Until that part, enduring a sermon as a child was a hardship. Keeping quiet and keeping still physically, because those pews were pretty hard. I remember a time when the church introduced children's church, so it wasn't called back then. It was much like Sunday school, except someone, most times a woman, would gather the children and take us to the back of the church, or the foyer, or outside on the church steps on a nice day. The church time went a little faster when we sat in the back, but there were no classrooms at the church we attended at the time, no basement, no multi-purpose room. The teacher would just have us sit on the back pews and tell us Bible stories. I really liked that. That meant I didn't have to worry about getting pinched in a turn. I could ask a question. I liked hearing stories about Noah and the Ark, Daniel in the lion's den, Joseph and his coat of many colors. One of the first stories I recalled hearing about was King Solomon. It was the most influential story, Bible story to me, and still is. With my yellow dress and black patent leather shoes and my little black purse matching my shoes, white lace socks, and I was glad to walk my mom's offering up to the front because I was so excited that Children's Church would be next. I bypassed her pew and went straight to the back, sometimes seeing my dad sit up in the pulpit, but I was ready. When the teacher told us about the story of King Solomon and First Kings 1 and verse 3, he said to have been the wisest. At that age, I used to open the Bible and hunt for words that I could read, you know, words like the, and. You get the picture. I remember pulling out my little red Gideon Bible, trying to find the story, not knowing all I had was the New Testament. As I listened intently, I found my words, and that's all that mattered, and pretended to follow along with my finger along the lines. The story amazed me. As the story goes, in summary, King Solomon had to decide between two women and one baby. Both women claimed to be the mother of the child. Of course, only one could be the real mother, and the other was a flat-out liar. With both women seeming to be believable, he suggested to cut the baby in half. My youthful questions pinged like a pinball machine. Why would a mommy lie? Why would the king want to kill a baby? Why didn't he ask the women which one was lying? Why didn't he make them share? Why didn't he give that baby to an orphanage? Why did he know what to do? How did he know what to do? With patience to listen, the children's church leader said, King Solomon was the wisest man. That's how. He had wisdom. I asked, what kind of wisdom? I didn't remember her full answer, but I remember it had to do with him being more than just smart. I know her answer had to be good because my next question was, how do you get it? How do you get it? Can I have some too? And she said, all you gotta do is ask. And I said, that's all? She said, yeah. It was much later, when I was a teenager, that I remembered reading the New Testament writings of James, who wrote, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. Something about wisdom made me feel I didn't have to ask God for anything else. But if I just had wisdom, there wouldn't be anything else I'd need to ask for, because I'd know whatever I needed to know, I'd have it or desire through wisdom. Wisdom became intriguing and such an important thing to me. I began to understand that wisdom was more important than things, being smart or intelligent. It is an innate and applied brilliance. After all, Solomon was able to take that dilemma. He didn't have access to DNA testing, never accused either woman of lying. He didn't need a focus group, a jury, a survey, or a team. He didn't test the market, know the valuation, have integrated platforms. He didn't embarrass either woman nor have to destroy the life of a child. He simply said, bring me a sword. And the truth came out quick. The passage further states that all feared him because of his wisdom. And I thought, feared? I didn't want anyone to fear me. And I didn't want to fear anybody. My childhood memory of wisdom presented with situations that required me to use wisdom after I had asked, and being aware of it, of the absence of it. That's why I decided to write this book. Professionals need wisdom. Leaders need wisdom. We need wisdom in our personal lives, our relationships, our careers, our health, our social, financial, political, and religious experiences. Now more than ever, we all need wisdom. We tend to see the world how we see ourselves. We assess the state of the world, and there's a lot of problems. Problems require solutions. Solutions require design, practical strategies, methodical genius, creativity, and innovation, all held together by wisdom. Some of the issues like racism, sexism, family and workplace dysfunction, political mayhem, abuse, oppression, unfair economic conditions, hunger, ongoing wars that will not be solved using a textbook, a pie chart, algorithms, reports, marketing, social media, and I'll add artificial intelligence, or even religious traditions. You would think common sense would handle it, but common sense ain't so common. What makes sense to some may seem stupid as hell to somebody else. Wisdom facilitates agreement. In some cases, a miracle is the only solvent, but in every situation, wisdom must be present. What's worse than not solving a problem is solving the wrong problem or causing the problem is being too out of touch or realize there is a problem. We are a quirky lot, yet we're incredible. And having access to every resource to discover solutions to every problem we face. But the solutions hinge on wisdom. Though I will never claim to understand the brain or mind or profess to be the wisest by far, I do understand the power of the mind. And I do have wisdom. I ask God for it. You can too. You can have it. And we must commit to nurture it. And again, that is a reading from my book, Thought Systems. And I thought about that, having wisdom. My main cheat code when the person asks me, how have you done all these things? Even how have you seemed to escape sickness and financial discourse and all the things I've gone through, from sexual assault to near bankruptcy to, you know, every family has issues. And I thought about it, the mainstay, of course, in your relationship with God, but asking for wisdom and having the faith that God will withhold no good thing. I mean, I asked for wisdom so deep and hard, I tattooed it on my wrist. because it reminds me anytime I have an issue, I don't have to look at it anymore, but it's also my billboard. I know that I am wisdom, and that comes from self-discovery, which is another cheat code. So I listed five that I just want to share with you. And I have a scripture reference for each one. And for sake of time, and because I want to really get to our community discussion, I'm going to go through them quickly, but I want to at least give them in a way that everybody understands. The first one I said, my hacks and cheat codes. The first one is wisdom, and it comes from James 1:5-6. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. My second cheat code and hack is obedience. And the obedience in the Greek and the Strong's word is a word called, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right, called hupakuyo. And it means to be attentive and hearken, to be compliant. And I thought about it, you know what? Obedience is a gift, because everybody ain't able. Do you know how many people just aren't able to be obedient? They just can't help it. They just can't get it right. And they really, really have to work at it. And I don't mean obedience to come down harsh or this warped sense of compliance that you don't have a mind of your own, but some people just ain't able. And so I look back over my life and I've always been compliant. Now I'm going to ask you some questions. Before I be compliant, I got to know. So some people will take that as you being obstinate or difficult. But I figure if I got to have the wisdom, you know, I'm going to have wisdom to be obedient. So let me find out everything I'm being obedient to. So, you know, even as a child, I was compliant, but my dad will even tell you, he would preach a sermon on Sunday, or my mom would teach about praise and worship. I got a question. I ain't going to believe it just because you're telling me, but I got a question. So even being obedient, that was number two. Number three of my hacks and cheat codes is self-discovery. That's been the bedrock of my company, my business, and most of all, my life. Because, you know, self-discovery is knowing who you are, because it teaches you who you are so you can teach other people how to treat you. And you use purpose as a lesson plan. So self-discovery, Jesus knew who he was. Matter of fact, that's what got him in trouble. Jesus wasn't crucified for what he did. They loved his miracles and him healing people. Jesus wasn't crucified for what he did. He was crucified for what he said. He knew who he was and they didn't like it. They didn't like him thinking he was equal with God. So that's why they crucified him. So once you know who you are and you stand on that, people ain't gonna like you for it. People like to control you. People like to compete with you. But once you stand in, I was telling some people the other day, they were talking about, you know, would you ever run for office? And but no, you never got to worry about me running for office. I ain't gonna compete for nothing. If I want to do it and you want to compete with me, baby, I'm gonna figure out a way to help you win. Because I'm the type, and whether it may be ego-based, I don't know if I'm vulnerable enough to say that, but I'm the type, you ain't gonna be able to put me out. I'm gonna want something that I can establish and nobody will be able to put me out, you know. But Jesus knew who he was. Jesus is the perfect example of self-discovery. He knew who he was here to be, what he was here to do, how well he was here to do it, and who it was here to help. So that's your purpose, your mission, your passion, and your compassion. So self-discovery is a cheat code. My fourth cheat code and hack is giving. I believe in giving, reciprocity. And the scripture I would use, go back, as everybody uses, especially offering time on church, during church, it is opening up the windows of heaven. I read a book called Spiritual Economics by Eric Butterworth, and he talks about in that book, because we use that scripture, Malachi 3:10, will a man rob God? You know, and then we go, well, God says he will open up the windows of heaven. And we kind of have taken that out of context because the King James says, I will open you the windows of heaven. We are the window. The blessing comes through us and God pours out the blessings through us. Some people waiting for windows to open. You know, you hear people when they see somebody get blessed, they say, I wish it was me. And through wisdom, I've always said, I wish I could do that. I want to be the person giving the blessing. And so when we think about the giving and in Eric Butterworth's book, he says tithing is just the beginning. That's the training wheels of giving. We get to a point where we give all the time. Oh, we had a situation yesterday where we were questioning some things, and Owen went to go pick me up something to eat. And when he went, we pay it forward a lot of times. You know, you just pay for the person, and he chose to pay for somebody's food. And as he was paying for that person's food, Jada texted us and told us she got some more graduation money. You know, and so there was a time we went to a grocery store, and I'll tell the story in detail another time, where Owen and I were wanting to pay for a family's groceries. And because of racism, they refused and put up a big stink about it. You know, so when you try to give, everybody don't want you to give, but giving, because reciprocity, I'm telling you, God will always show off when you give, not just money, but time and talents and, you know, however you can give. And then the fifth, and the final one I'll share with you today, my cheat codes and hacks, is rest. Rest. And you know how people can take scriptures out of context. So I'm going to take that liberty. I'm going to use the peace be still when Jesus spoke to the storm. I know in context what it means, but that peace to be still, sometimes you have to be still. And then when we talk about the be still and know that God is God, rest, because there's some things that happen after you rest. You know, after you take just a 15 to 20 minute nap, you wake up smarter. And even if you don't go all the way to sleep, just taking a deliberate time to rest. And I know I've shared the book Rest is Resistance so many times, but that to me is one of my new sacred readings. You're smarter, you're clearer, your ideas become more strategic. So just running through them right quick, my cheat codes as Tracy Mack is wisdom, obedience, self-discovery, giving, and rest in no particular order. And I pull on those all the time, so much some they come natural. Mind you, I fail and I falter daily like anybody else, but I got cheat codes that work for any area of my life where I'm prospering, and even in health, hiccup and all, my health is getting better. The cheat codes and the hacks I use are proven because I'm a living testimony, and I'm here to not only be the testator, but I'm here to oversee my testimony to prove, I am judge and jury that God works, and these cheat codes work when you work them consistently, especially when you work them in community. So I'm so grateful. I thank God for you listening to me, whether you're listening here in the Peace Place community, whether you're listening on Black Women's World Podcast. And if you're not here in the Peace Place community, I'm sorry for you, because we're getting ready to share some more cheat codes and embellish on these with one another. But share your cheat codes if you want to send me an email, or if you just want to say that this blessed you in some way, shape, or form. So I'm signing off. Peace and many blessings. I'm Tracy Mack.
Thank you for listening in to Peace Place for Me, a place of peace for you. On behalf of Pastor and Chaplain Tracy Mack, we hope you enjoyed today's sharing and the blessed time spent together. We would like to give you a reaping opportunity if you so desire by giving. You can do so by way of Zelle at peaceplaceatlive.com, PayPal, info@peaceplaceforme.com, Venmo at Peace Place for Me, Cash App, Peace Place for Me, or by mail at Peace Place LLC, P.O. Box 767, Knightdale, North Carolina, 27545. We want to express our gratitude in advance for the generous gifts you have chosen to share for the benefit of our community. We hope to fellowship with you again the next time we come together. As a reminder, we only meet on the second and fourth Sundays at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. For access to join our virtual meetings, email us at info@peaceplaceforme.com. That is info@peaceplaceforme.com. Until next time, peace and blessings to you.
You've been listening to Black Women's World Podcast, the BWWP, brought to you in part by Tracy Mack Solutions for Life Institute Coaching and Training Services. No doubt you have enjoyed being in our world, and it doesn't have to stop here. Head on over to blackwomensworld.com. This is my personal invitation to you to stay connected with me on social media and more. I'd love to see you there, and I'm so grateful you came to be with me here. Invite someone else to join you in our kingdom next time so they can feel the vibe of our tribe of Sister Nistas and Sister Nista lovers too. Remember to be kind, be authentic, be generous, be excellent, be grateful, and while you're at it, go ahead and be extraordinary, because that's just what Sister Nistas do on purpose through mission with passion and compassion. It's a Black Woman's World, baby, and you, my Sister Nista, are proof. I'm your self-discovery companion, your professional peacemaker, and your host, Tracy Mack. Wherever you are in the world, may you love and be loved by somebody. Peace.